The information in this skill is provided for informational and educational purposes only. Welcome, and thank you for listening to the Multiple Sclerosis Flash Briefings.
Hi, I'm Price Wooldridge. As a rare neuromuscular disorder patient myself, I enjoy reading flash briefings for multiple sclerosis. Here's an article by Marissa Wexler, MS. MS tied to increased risk after colorectal cancer diagnosis. People who develop colon cancer are more likely to die in the first year from that cancer or other causes if they also have multiple sclerosis, a new study indicates. MS disability seems to contribute to this association. These results warrant further investigation to determine what factors may lead to shorter survival times. Ruth Ann Marie, MD, PhD, a professor at the University of Manitoba in Winnipeg, Canada, and co-author of the study, said in a press release, "Are people with MS less likely to receive cancer treatment, or are they less able to tolerate the effects of chemotherapy? Are factors specific to MS involved? How accommodating is the cancer care system for people with disabilities?" These are among the many questions that need to be investigated, Murray said. The study, Colorectal Cancer Survival in Multiple Sclerosis, a matched cohort study, was published in Neurology. Cancer is one of the leading causes of death among people with MS, but the interplay between the two diseases is poorly understood. A separate study by Marie and other scientists, published earlier this year, suggested that MS did not increase the risk of cancer-related deaths among breast cancer patients. However, breast cancer patients with MS were at significantly higher risk of death from any cause a decade after their cancer diagnosis. Now the researchers set out to assess how MS affects survival outcomes among people with colorectal cancer, which includes any cancer that affects the colon and rectum. By analyzing Canadian databases, the researchers identified 338 people with MS who were diagnosed with colorectal cancer in the provinces of Manitoba and Ontario from 1994 to 2016. Their mean age was 64.6 years, and about two-thirds of the patients were female. For comparison, the researchers also identified 1,352 people with colon cancer who did not have MS. The two groups were matched for age, sex, year at cancer diagnosis, and region of residence. The stage of colon cancer at diagnosis did not differ significantly between the MS and non-MS groups. Results showed that MS was associated with an increased risk of death from any cause. This association was strongest, in a statistical sense, at 6 months after the diagnosis of cancer, when patients with MS were at 45% higher risk of all-cause death. The association was less remarkable, but still significant at 1 year, and lost its statistical significance at later time points. Notably, MS also was associated with an increased risk of death from cancer. Specifically, at 6 months after the cancer diagnosis, MS patients were about 29% more likely to die from cancer. We found that early survival was lower in persons with MS than without MS following the diagnosis of colorectal cancer, the researchers concluded. This has potential implications for clinical decision-making, and further study is warranted to determine what factors underlie these worse outcomes. Of note, the association between MS and early mortality decreased when the analysis took disability into account. Disability in MS patients often is associated with frailty, and the findings suggest it may prevent patients from receiving adequate cancer treatments. Understanding more about the factors involved in treating cancer in people with MS and their outcomes will be helpful for people with MS and their doctors as they balance the benefits of cancer treatment with the potential adverse effects and consider life expectancy and quality of life, Murray said. Hi, I'm Price Wooldridge. As a rare neuromuscular disorder patient myself, I enjoy reading the column by Beth Ulla, Through the Looking Glass. MS and Fertility, Conflicts of the Heart and Mind. Rock bottom is the end of what wasn't true enough. Begin again and build something truer. Glennon Doyle. The first of our four pregnancy losses were our twin daughters in 2013. which happened nearly halfway through my pregnancy. 3 years later, the first symptoms appeared that would eventually be diagnosed as relapsing remitting multiple sclerosis. After my diagnosis, time simply stopped. Our lives were put on hold, and this included starting a family. As it turned out, this was just the beginning of our long battle with MS and fertility. The effects of relapsing remitting MS, which I refer to in my columns as Hurricane MS, due to the damage it has caused, complicated fertility matters for me. I've had to apologize over questions like, does my ability to have children necessarily mean I should? And is having children worth the potential consequences it might have on my physical and mental health? After much time and reflection, my husband and I are ready to have children. We have two options: in vitro fertilization or IVF, or adoption. After several years of trying to conceive and then having painful tests, we were finally referred to a fertility clinic, where we were offered a single round of IVF through the UK's National Health Service. If this is unsuccessful, adoption would be the next option. Currently, my head is leaning toward adoption, which I believe would be the best option for my health. However, my heart isn't yet ready to give up on carrying the baby I wished for since I can remember. I was also diagnosed with polycystic ovary syndrome, which causes fluctuations in my hormone levels and unpredictable, painful, and heavy periods. This condition affects my fertility. I take medication to manage it, although most of the time it feels like putting a Band-Aid on a bullet wound. I also must consider the heart-rending reality that there is a long waiting list, perhaps over a year, to receive IVF. And after the wait, there is still only about a 32% chance the procedure will be successful for women my age. Again, I only have one shot for this to work, and my scientific mind doesn't like those odds. My heart, however, disagrees. I have hope and faith in my heart that it will work. If I were to become pregnant, I would face an increased risk of an MS relapse after giving birth. I also would have to stop taking my fatigue medication, modafinil. While I have previously written about the effect fatigue has on my life, I would do anything for a baby, including living with increased fatigue for a while. Most of the time these days, my head tells me I've matured enough to prioritize my health over a longing to feel a child kicking inside of me, as I once did with my girls. But I still feel the pull of the songbird in my heart that's been singing since my body's clock began ticking as a teenager. This is now our ongoing battle after I clawed my way back from the ashes left by my Hurricane MS. We don't yet have the answers, but I have no doubt this warrioress of MS will find a way to rise again.
The information in our flash briefings and podcasts are provided for informational and educational purposes only. Be sure to tune in daily to Multiple Sclerosis News Today for the latest news and perspectives regarding the disease. Discover more content that might be of interest to you at www.multiplesclerosisnewstoday.com. And be sure to follow us on social media and join our Multiple Sclerosis News Today forums, a trusted MS community ready to welcome you anytime.